Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the oddly placed Grand Prix department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Really?
Well, yeah, we read that the association that controls Formula One racing has chosen a site, finally, for next year's Grand Prix, and it's, guess where?
Monaco.
Close. Very close. New Jersey. They're going to run Formula One Grand Prix races through the scenic streets of Weehawken, New Jersey next year. Can you believe that?
Sure, why not?
Well, it does mean that the pit stops are going to be a little more interesting than in years past.
How so?
Well, first of all, drivers will always need exact change for the toll booth or pit lanes. And when a driver makes a stop for tires, the New Jersey pit crews will just take his wheels and leave. It'll make the race more challenging when the driver has to negotiate to buy his wheels back.
It does.
Top drivers may be demoralized when they try to return to the track, and a guy driving a 30-year-old yellow cab refuses to let them cut in. Every fuel stop will be slower than usual due to four or five particularly aggressive squeegee guys that you're running into. And to make sure that the pit crews are safe, the contractor has installed speed bumps made of former business associates. Pit crews are required to check in with drivers before beginning any repairs by asking, "How you doing?" And the traditional yellow warning flag has been replaced with a picture of a guy sleeping with the fishes, if you know what I mean. Anyway, whether you're driving the New Jersey Grand Prix or it's just the New Jersey Turnpike, you can call us with your car questions. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Thanks for taking my call.
This you'll be sorry you said that.
Probably.
Who are you?
Alicia from Lakeville, Minnesota.
Hi, Alicia. Nice to speak to you. What's going on?
So my sister has an 06 Range Rover, and for some reason, in warmer temperatures, when she turns it on, in the passenger seat area, probably like the dashboard, it makes a farting noise. And it's so embarrassing because she always blames it on me. It literally sounds like I'm farting, and I swear it's not me.
Can you make the noise? I mean, how, what is it? Because you may think it's something. Maybe you do you have iFart on your iPhone?
I've tried to, like, recreate this noise, and I can't. Like, it just...
Yeah, give it... I mean, is it it's like a little... Or is it a... You know, there's all
kinds
of...
Like the second. More like the second. Like, not one that you ever want to admit it to you.
Oh, it's a sloppy Joe then.
Kind of, yes.
Really? And where is this noise coming from?
It seems like it's coming from the dashboard. Yeah, but of course, if you're sitting behind, like, the person in the passenger seat, it sounds like them.
Yeah. I think it's a faulty... heater control.
Really?
Yeah, I think if, for example, when it's making this noise, it's because the AC or the heat is on. Probably the AC.
Yeah.
If she were to turn all that off, the farting... There's no smell associated with this, is there?
No, there isn't. Otherwise, I would totally...
Otherwise,
agree.
You'd have to fess up. No, if she turns the air conditioning system off, there's a button that allows you to turn everything off, that noise will go away.
Yes, that's correct.
And it'll go away because that blend door that's making the noise, and I don't know how it's done on the Range Rover. It's probably done with an electric motor or a vacuum-controlled motor. That's what's making the noise. You're getting that... And it only lasts as long as it takes for that door to move, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't last the whole time. Just enough to embarrass me.
Just enough to embarrass you. It's always good when somebody gets in the car, like a client. Have a seat. Oh, you want the AC?
So her husband is a mechanic, and he doesn't have time to fix it or figure out what's wrong. So that's why I'm calling you guys, because she's worried that she'll get, you know, a client in and then be all embarrassed because...
Well, on the other hand, you could have a lot of fun with this. The client could sit down and you could, you know, hear the sound. You say, "Oh, did you cut the cheese? What's going on?"
We do for, like, our friends, but...
Oh, I think it would be much more fun if she actually did it for a client. See if they can take a joke. But he should just take the glove box out. And I bet you if he turns the heater controls on and off, he'll figure out what's making the noise. It's some kind of a servo that's making the noise.
Oh, okay. Perfect. I am going to make him fix it, so I step...
Yeah, you don't want to embarrass your sister any more than she has to be embarrassed. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, boy. Nobody screens these calls. It's pretty obvious. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Paul from Indianapolis. How are you guys?
Great, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. So I got a problem with my wife's 2006 Hyundai Elantra.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, actually, I have a Hyundai Elantra, too, 2006. So we are a two Elantra family, and she's been kind of bothering me about it.
Did you get the buy one, get one free deal from Hyundai?
Kind of. I mean, you know, we got one, and it worked so well. Yeah, we just got another one. Really works great. And she has been complaining about a noise for some time. I was trying to come up with words to describe it, but I'll just try to do it for you guys. After about 5 or 10 minutes driving through the city, maybe going 35, 40 miles an hour, it kind of sounds like this.
Oh, I think you ought to take an antacid.
Excellent.
Yeah. It's not a pleasant sound. It sounds kind of like a wounded animal. Or, you know, the vuvuzelas from the World Cup?
Yes. Like,
it sounds like vuvuzelas. And so I'm wondering, I have a few working theories. You guys got any ideas, though?
No, well, we're waiting for you to give us a little more information.
Here's a key fact I forgot to tell you guys.
Yeah.
So
we're going to need these.
Yeah. This is a disputed fact. My wife claims this is not true, but I was noticing, I think, that when you apply the brake, it stops.
Aha.
So it might be a brake issue.
I was leaning in that direction. And
it'd be great if it was, because my brother-in-law and I actually tried to change the brake pads and rotors. And he was sort of the genius behind that, and I was kind of following his lead. But
when you say you tried, you mean you didn't succeed?
No, we did, and it's been a few years. But this was something that we could blame him for. That'd be great.
Oh, and you tried it on your wife's car in case it didn't work out and she crashed it. Never mind.
Well, and that's the other reason I'm calling you guys, actually, because we got to make sure. Now, I don't ever want my wife driving something that's unsafe, but she is 8 months pregnant.
Well, it's clear she should be driving your car.
Yeah. Is that right? Is this actually dangerous?
Well, it could be. It sounds like you have a stuck caliper. The noise is coming from one corner of the car. I mean, have you ascertained that?
It just sounds like it's coming from, I don't know where. It just is omnipresent.
It's omnipresent. It's
yeah.
All around you.
All around me, yeah.
You know, I would take it someplace ASAP and put it on the lift and spin the wheels, and it would be preferable if you took it after you'd driven the car for a while and it, in fact, made the noise.
Because if
there is a stuck brake, that wheel's going to be a lot hotter than the other three.
Is this something I could blame my brother-in-law for?
Absolutely.
Good. Anything I can do to hold something over his head would be great.
How many miles are on this 06?
Almost 100,000, probably 98.
And how many miles are on yours?
103.
This has nothing to do with your current, you know, concern, but how's your butt taking all this driving in this car? I mean, is this car comfortable enough?
Well, you know, I throw on you guys on a podcast, and it's very, very comfortable.
Does that make your pain worse or better?
It exacerbates it a little bit, but
yeah. It's like slamming your hand in the car door. It makes you think of all your other pain.
Exactly. I'm sort of reeling when I get out of the car.
Well, get this thing into some place. Get them to look at it, and I'm willing to bet that you've got a stuck brake someplace. It might not be at the point where it's dangerous yet, but it's going to get dangerous fast.
Okay, sounds good. Any advice on fatherhood, guys? I got a month left of freedom. You guys have been through it.
Oh, yeah, we've been through it many times. Run! No, no, you know, just try to keep you cool, because there's going to be a lot of stressful stuff coming down the pipeline. But just remember, billions of other people have done this.
Yeah.
So you're not alone.
That's a good point.
You'll make it.
All right.
Yeah, you can always start crying. That always helps. See you later, man.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Natalie, and I'm calling you from Vancouver, Washington.
Hey, Natalie. What's going on?
My question has to do with the logic versus emotion of owning a car.
Sometimes they're hard to separate.
Yeah.
Or they're very far apart. We'll see.
Exactly. I own a 1994 Toyota Tercel that I'm completely in love with. It's the greatest car in the world.
Okay, we could probably stop you right there.
No, it's great. I love this car. I have gotten it into all kinds of crazy situations, and it always gets me out in one piece. It had its 230,000-mile birthday yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and pretty much the rest of the car is showing it as well. I mean, it's kind of just slowly falling apart around me. So my question is, should I keep putting money into this car, or should I start saving up for a new one?
You want the short answers, or you want the long answers?
Well,
the short answers are no and yes.
Okay. Because when I got it with a rebuilt engine in it, so the engine itself only has like 70,000 miles on it.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, you do sacrifice when you have a car this age is... two things which are somewhat important, reliability and safety.
Okay.
So, for example, if you were to take a trip far out of town, the chances of a breakdown are much greater than if you had a 2004 Toyota. But more
important... In other words, you may not come back at all.
See, you may have to relocate. But every time you travel, you should take all your stuff with you.
Okay.
Fill your suitcases.
Yeah.
Right? Throw all the stuff in the car. Everything that's important to you. If you have a dog, don't ever leave the house without the dog. Take everything. Because, like Tommy says, you may not come back. You don't have to relocate. But on a serious note, what your car doesn't have is so many of the safety features that modern cars have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you probably don't have anti-lock brakes.
Probably not.
Yeah, you don't have side curtain airbags. You don't have a lot of other things. You don't have electronic stability control. And those are the kinds of things that make driving a lot safer, considering there are a lot of idiots out there driving. You may be one of them. We know my brother is. And you have to protect yourself, and the best way to protect yourself is to have the car that you drive be as safe as you can possibly afford it to be.
Yeah, that's the problem. I'm a broke college student, so if I do go get a different car, it's going to be another, you know, Craigslist special with 100,000 miles on it. So.
It could be, but it might be newer enough so that it has some of these other things like anti-lock brakes and side curtain airbags and whatnot. So that's
all
something
right.
to, you know, so it's just an idea. But any other pressing issues here that we need to discuss, Natalie?
I don't know. I mean, I have a whole list in front of me of things that need to get done to it. But...
Well, let's hear the list, and maybe the list will determine whether or not you keep the car. Go ahead.
All right. I guess the first and foremost annoyance is that it doesn't have a speedometer. The needle, like, seizes up or something in cold weather, and it eventually just kind of, like, fell off, so it's kind of hidden in my dashboard somewhere.
Oh, so you need a new speedo head.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what that costs, but let's put a price tag on that. Let's say $500,000.
Sounds good.
All right. Go ahead. Next.
It smells like gas when I first started up.
Oh.
It goes away after a couple of minutes, but especially if the fans are on, I just get this blast of, like, fume smell. It's rather unpleasant.
It's probably leaking gas, and you may be leaking gas from maybe the fuel rail or something like that, probably easily fixed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the thing is my dad does all the work on it, so it's pretty cheap to keep it up and running.
I
pay for parts.
Well, and he likes this car because it's right at his intellectual level. No, I didn't mean that in a bad way. I mean, it's rather uncomplicated. And newer cars are much more complicated and require more sophisticated equipment. So this car is pre-OBD2.
Yeah.
You know, so it's pre all the emission stuff that has to be tested and all that. So he feels comfortable fixing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so go ahead. What else? Speedo
head.
Well,
we replaced the clutch like 2-ish years ago.
Uh-huh.
And ever since then, I don't know if we like put it back in wrong or something, because that was quite an ordeal. But basically, almost every time I go from a dead stop, the car vibrates rather violently.
Oh, you probably got grease on the clutch. Either that or you put in a cheap clutch.
Yeah, probably both.
Yeah, and it's chattering.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would ignore that because fixing it requires replacing the clutch again.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I just make sure you keep your mouth open when you take off so you don't chip any teeth.
I've gotten into the habit of doing that, yes.
And that's it?
Well, no.
Natalie, it's a one-hour show.
I guess the other big thing is that it had kind of a leaky head gasket a while back, and we fixed it with the stop leak stuff and kind of just crossing my fingers that holds up.
Well, that usually works, 10 to 20 years.
Oh, really?
No, not really. It could be as temporary as a week or as long-lasting as a year, but not usually more than that.
Yeah, okay.
How long ago did you do that?
About a year ago,
okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's my list.
Well, I would keep looking on Craigslist if I were you. And you might be able to get a car that's like a 98 or a 99. You know, I mean, oh, God forbid, maybe something in the 2000s.
Ooh, that'd be a treat.
Yeah. So you might want to look at a, you know, let me see, even a Corolla or something like that in the 2000s.
Okay.
You know, and Dad will still feel comfortable working on that, and he'll feel better that you're driving a safer car.
Okay.
Good luck, Natalie. I know you're not convinced, and you're going to try to make it to 250 anyway. But when you get to 250, call us.
Okay, sounds good.
See you. Thanks for your call.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right, look it. Do you give up?
Do I give up what? What? What are you talking about?
Do you give up trying to remember last week's puzzler?
Give up? Why would I give up? I mean, I haven't even tried yet. All right, now I give up.
The puzzle was about a broken-down car, and the clue was that something that should have been cold was hot.
I remember that. Interesting.
And we'll be back with the whole story in just a minute. I've been washing the windows and cutting the lawn. Wow, gonna pay for it on my bed, done. Wow, gonna make the scene and you better look out. Wow, I've been out of gas much too long. Out of gas, out of gas. Ain't so funny. Out of gas, out of gas. Having no money. Out of gas, out of gas. Ain't so cool. It's a drag losing out with the girls at school. Wow, this deal all started the other night. So, so I met this honey and the things look so, right. So, so when she heard I didn't even have a car. And she said I get tired while I walk too far. Out of gas, out of gas. Ain't so funny. Out of gas, out of gas. Having no money. Out of gas, out of gas. Ain't so cool. It's a drag losing out with the girls at school.
And even though Carl Castle removes us as friends from his Facebook page whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, well, I thought it was pretty good. It was sent in by someone named Wade Satterfield, and here's his story.
Yeah.
It wasn't. Pay attention, because the details are important.
They always are.
Not usually. It was an early fall evening when my wife went out in our 94 Ford Explorer. About three blocks from home, it started making a great screeching, screaming noise from under the hood, followed by smoke. So my wife, the overly cautious one in the family, pulls over and turns off the car, then calls me for help. I'm home in my jammies, but I get in my car and drive to where she is. And being the guy, I feel obliged to open the hood, you know, and see if everything, like the engine, is still there, even though it's a dark and stormy night. On a hunch, I reach in and touch something that I expect to be cool. But to my surprise, instead of being cool, it gives me a second-degree burn on my finger.
Ooh.
After I stop crying and blubbering, I tell my wife to take my car and finish whatever she was going to do, and I walk home, leaving the Explorer by the side of the road. After putting ice on my finger and calling my mother and having her kiss it over the phone, the pain in my finger finally subsides enough so that I can think straight. I walk back to the Explorer, I adjust something on the dashboard, start the engine, and drive home with no problems. What did I do, and what was wrong with the car?
Adjust something on the dashboard?
Yeah.
On the dashboard? The clock?
That was my second choice.
The radio?
Yeah.
Adjust something on the dashboard.
He turns off the defroster, because what was wrong was that the air conditioner compressor had seized. Now, you may not, well, I'm sure
excellent.
You do, but lots of people don't know that most modern cars now have one belt that runs everything. And whether you did or not, the air conditioner pulley is turning all the time, whether the air conditioner is on or off. But when you turn it on, you engage a magnetic clutch, which makes that pulley that's spinning via the belt turn the compressor. But if the compressor is seized, the pulley can no longer turn, and the belt will begin to screech and slip around that seized pulley and cause smoke and eventually fire and who knows what, but certainly a lot of heat. But if you turn off the air conditioner, that compressor pulley will just go back to freewheeling because that magnetic clutch is disengaged.
Right.
So the reason the thing was so hot and hot enough to burn his finger
was the defroster.
Was the defroster was on, and that belt was screeching over that seized pulley. And then as soon as he turned off the defroster, don't forget it was a dark and stormy night. Pretty cute, huh? And by the way, we would also accept turning off the air conditioner, but I think the fact that it was an early fall evening, you know, the windows are probably getting fogged up, and you would turn on the defroster, which on most cars also turns on the air conditioner. So,
right.
But also turning off the air conditioner right. would be an acceptable answer.
It would be, although why would the air conditioner be on a dark and stormy night?
Exactly. Anyway, do we have a winner?
Yes. The winner is David Sternberg from Chittenden, Vermont. And for having his answer selected at random from all of the correct answers that we got, David will get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, which, of course, is at cartalk.com. With that $26...
You know, by the way, the reason these awards are so small, 26 bucks, people think we're stingy. We don't want anyone to, you know, to pass out, have a heart attack. I mean, if you won the thing and won...
And you won $100,000.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we want to make sure that...
And
you know.
In deference to the health and welfare of our listeners.
Exactly right. Exactly.
In fact, I think $26 could do the same. I think we should drop it
$16. I'm sorry, but I just thought I felt obligated to mention that.
Because it sounded like such a cheap thing.
It did, yeah.
In any event, with that $26, David can get our new unboxed set. The best of Car Talk. The best of Car Talk. You know, it's
I know, don't.
It just makes me laugh to even think of it. How can there be the best? I suppose. Yeah.
No, of course there has to be a best.
There has to be a best.
Yeah.
A least bad.
Right. If we did the worst, on the other hand, there wouldn't be enough vinyl in the universe.
All right. The best of Car Talk, volumes 1 and 2. Together at last in one beautiful package.
And I know why. I mean, people would go to buy a best of collection and they'd say, well, there are two of them. I might as well start with number one. Then they'd hear it and they'd never buy number two. So now we're trying to make people buy them together.
Ah, that's very good. Did you think of that?
No, this was Dougie's initiative, actually. He's got such a big pile of best of number twos in his living room, he can't see his TV anymore. He had to do something, man.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, you can call us at 888-CAR-TALK, which happens to be, just by luck, 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Carmen, and I'm calling from Flatwoods, Kentucky.
Carmen.
Carmen.
Not Carmen, Carmen.
Well, listen, dear. We have a peculiar, I don't know what you'd call it here, accent in Boston.
Yes, we do.
And we have a hard time saying our R's. So we did our level best there, and I think that's probably about as good as it gets. So, Carmen.
You're Carmen.
Yes,
is that better?
Yeah.
It's hard for us to say that.
I'll work on it.
Okay. Anyway, Carmen, where are you Carmen, where are you from?
Flatwoods, Kentucky.
So what's on your mind today?
Well, my husband has an annoying habit at the gas pump that I need you to help me solve. I have a solution to his habit, but he's not buying it from me. So I told him we're going to let you guys solve it. Now,
okay.
Uh-huh.
There's a wager on this. So you got to side with me because he's at work and can't defend himself.
All right.
Carmen, we're with you, baby.
When we first met and went out on a couple of dates, we would go to fill up for gas.
Mm-hmm.
And I, honest to God, thought for the first time you did this, that we were in an earthquake. This car starts shaking. Things start falling everywhere. My cell phone hits the floor. I turn around to make sure that my sweet, loving boyfriend is okay, and he's shaking the darn car.
Oh, he's a burper. We call them burpers.
I don't know what you call him, but I don't call him that.
Well, he's burping the car. He's trying to burp. You know, it's just like you'd burp a baby. You know, you're feeding a baby a bottle, and you think that the bottle's half done. You say, I know if this little twerp doesn't finish the whole bottle, he's going to be up in an hour and a half. I'm going to have to feed him some more. So you burp the kid. You try to get the bubbles out to make room for what? More milk, right?
Okay, but I have this theory that
Yeah.
And this is 10 years in the dispute. But I tell him that if you just pull the trigger, and when it clicks off, if you just pull the nozzle out a little bit and then pull the trigger some more and keep filling it up and do that until you don't have the nozzle in the gas tank anymore, that you get the same amount of gas in there.
Instead of spilling on your shoes then.
No, because I'm smart enough to stop it before that.
Yeah, well, tell you the truth, you're both wrong.
Okay, let me. You got to think back to, we have a wager on this.
I know.
I need you to side with me.
Well, we're working on that. Work with us, will you?
Okay.
So when you go, when you go for gas, do you ever go to a station like a full service where they pump the gas for you?
I'm from the South. They don't have those.
Well, we used to. What happened to Southern hospitality?
Well, that's why you have a nice boyfriend.
Oh, okay. Well, up north here, we have some stations. In fact, there are a couple of states that don't allow you to pump your own gas at all. New Jersey is one of them. And so they subscribe to the notion that they want professionals pumping gas.
Okay. Do they burp the car, too?
No. When that thing shuts off, they take the nozzle out of your filler, they hang it back up on the pump, and they put the cap on, and you're done. And that's what you should do, and that's what he should do, too. So burping is crazy. And even what you do doesn't make sense either, because it's putting more gasoline in the tank than it wants to have in there. And if you do that, you run the risk of damaging the evaporative emission system. So, but what he's doing, a wager, huh? What's the nature of the wager, and can you tell us on a family show?
I can.
You can?
If you side with me, he has to take me away on an overnight wherever I want to go and do whatever I want to do. And I'm not a shopper, so he won't have to shop. It'd be like a hiking thing or something.
Oh, yeah, something outdoorsy. And if he wins?
And if he wins, I have to buy him a stupid Car Talk shirt.
Oh, I think we have to side with him.
I know. I knew you were going to say that. And I knew you would say that.
Listen,
so
Carmen, sales are way down. So I think the you're both doing something wrong, and I think the best way for this to get adjudicated is for you to buy each other a Car Talk shirt. And go hiking and run around town and wear it for like a week at a time. Make sure everyone knows you listen to Car Talk. But you shouldn't burp the car, and you shouldn't top it up to the tippity-tippity top either. So I'd have to call this a draw, wouldn't you, Thomas?
I would.
So go away and get a T-shirt. Have some fun.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
A pleasure talking to you, Carmen.
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 Carmen. Carmen.
Thank you.
We're working on
right.
it. See you later.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. See, didn't work.
Nobody there.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is John Thielen calling from Wilmette, Illinois.
Hi, John. What's going on, man?
Well, I got this 2000 Audi A6 that I got a problem with the turn signal switch.
Uh-huh.
So I have to take it off of there, and it's wrapped around the steering column, and that means I got to pull the steering wheel off. And the steering wheel has an airbag in it, and I've never dealt with airbags and steering wheels before. But all the instructions pretty much tell you to keep an eye on it. Don't let it out of your sight.
Well, I wouldn't keep an eye on it. That's the easiest way to lose an eye.
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out is, can I do this without either launching the steering wheel or my head across the garage?
do you have any kids that play hockey?
No, I don't. The neighbors do, though.
Well, there you go. You need to borrow a hockey mask. Maybe a goalie's mask. Well, there is a small chance that you have to follow the instructions pretty carefully, but there's a small chance that the bag goes off. But the only bags we've ever set off at our shop are the ones we did intentionally. Well, we've replaced the steering wheel, for example, and had an extra bag, and we just wanted to see what happened when the thing went off.
Okay.
Jeez, it's loud! But other than that, I mean, we've never had one. We may have just jinxed us, but we've never had one blow.
Okay.
So the car is now 12 years old, and you figure, hey, why should I take it someplace, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. So did you get an estimate for what it's going to cost to do this?
I didn't. I found the parts online for about $30. I thought that was a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Well, maybe. What if you found someone that would do it for $130?
Possibility.
Possibility. But you're looking for the challenge, huh, John?
Well, I've always worked on cars since I was a teenager, and I figure this is just one more car, and why let it defeat me?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see about that. But what's the previous most involved job car-wise that you've been involved with, that you've done in your car, maybe this car?
I've taken dashboards completely out of cars. I've changed intake manifolds, carburetor systems, okay. exhaust systems, differentials.
All right. Well, you'll be doing all that to this car when this airbag blows. No, I think, I mean, of course, if the airbag does blow, you'll have to buy a steering wheel.
Right.
You know, I would line one of those up maybe at a junkyard first, see if there's one available, because you wouldn't want to have to buy a brand new one.
Okay.
And I'm not even sure that you can buy a used one. It may vary from state to state, and it may be that you can't buy a used one, a used airbag.
No, I can check online and see what's out there.
Yeah, the reason being that there'd be no guarantee that the thing would actually work when you needed it to work.
Right.
So I would investigate that, whether or not you can buy a used one. And if it turns out, you know, you've got to do the risk-reward matrix. You got to say, well, to save $100, do I want to take the risk of blowing the airbag and spending $678 on a steering wheel?
Right.
And then you may be discouraged. But on the other hand, you'll have learned nothing if you don't go ahead and do this.
That's the way I view it.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I think you should just make sure that everyone else is out of the house when you do it.
And the insurance is paid
and
up.
And definitely wear the goalie mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck.
And when you do get the steering wheel off, put it in the trunk.
Well, then I'll be needing a new trunk if it blows.
Oh, that's all right. Better a new trunk than a new head. Good luck, John.
Thanks. I appreciate it, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good luck. See you later. Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Ben from Jackson, Mississippi.
Hey, Ben, what's happening, man?
I got a semi-folkloric question for y'all. Ever since I was born, my dad has been telling me this story, and I don't know whether to believe it or not.
Oh, you want us to verify? Is that the story? Okay.
Yes. My mom was finishing up college at Tulane, and my dad was driving down to see her, and something happened, and his antenna broke off, and he didn't have a tape deck. He was driving an old LTD, so it didn't really have much anything, I guess. He pulled over to a service station and asked where he could get a new antenna, and the guy told him to put a potato on the antenna. And he did, and it worked. Full reception. He said he picked up better reception than he did with his normal antenna. Now, he's been telling me this story forever, and as he was driving down to New Orleans picking up full reception with a potato on his antenna, a car pulls up beside him with a Massachusetts license plate, and there's a bunch of kids honking at him, and they, too, have a potato on their antenna. Then he told me that, you know, he thought about, you know, if this works. Then he went and bought a sweet potato. He bought a red potato. He bought an onion. Bought lemon. Nothing worked except for the regular baking potato.
Really? Regular Idaho potato.
Yeah.
Really?
Idaho. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, potatoes, you know, do have a lot of water in them, and water is conductive. I mean, potatoes are mostly water, just like most vegetables, I guess. But evidently, it must be a certain kind of potato that really, really does the trick. I remember making a battery out of a potato.
Yeah,
when
I remember when I was in elementary or something, you could make like a radio from a potato.
And a radio show. That's what we did with my brother. Yeah, but don't ask me how it works or why it works, except for the fact that the potato somehow conducts electricity and is picking up, because what your antenna is picking up is the electromagnetic radiation that comes out of the antenna of the radio station. But I guess in the absence of a whole antenna, the potato is enough mass to be a suitable substitute. And why it actually works is beyond me, but I'm sure we'll get 9,000 emails about why it works and then 9,000 more about why it can't possibly work. But I believe your father. I believe it works.
Well, this is real.
You know what? I'm going to go right out right now and snap the antenna off my brother's car.
Good idea.
Stick a potato on there and see how well it works. Thanks for the idea, Ben.
No problem.
All right. Take care, man.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. All right, it's time to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll have the brand new puzzler. You ready?
Am I ready?
No, huh? All right, well, we'll press on anyway. The new puzzler is from my Underground Railroad series, and we'll be back with that and more of your car questions in just a minute.
I love my woman with all my soul. She's smart and pretty. She got a heart of gold. She knows how to cook and dress so fine. I'm so glad that she's all mine. But no one's perfect. You know that's true. There's just one thing she can't do. She tries real hard but misses the mark.
My baby can't parallel park. My baby can't parallel park. After all these years, she's still in the dark. Back and forth and up on the curb, bumping and grinding, it gets on my nerve. Rocking and rolling with all of her heart. My baby can't parallel park.
And even though Bastille Day celebrants decide to storm the NPR building whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about what? Cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. And this is the final Puzzler of this season.
Wow. Time flies.
That's right, when you're not paying attention. Anyway, this is from my Underground Railroad series, and it was sent in by a fellow named Joe Scott. And I believe it's historic, folkloric, and sounds like it's authentic, too. So we'll see. But if it isn't, blame Joe Scott.
Okay.
Like lots of other cities, Chicago has a subway system, which consists of a maze of tunnels linking various parts of the city. Everyone knows that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
But beneath those streets of downtown Chicago, there is another system of tunnels. And this tunnel system was excavated between like 1899 and 1910 by the Illinois Telephone and Telegraph Company. Okay, and the purpose of these tunnels was to provide space for telephone lines, of course. And,
yeah.
and there was also an electric freight-carrying railroad with a narrow-gauge, 2-foot-wide track, and a little railroad train that ran in there, okay? And this small four-wheel drive electric locomotive hauled diminutive little freight cars between like stores, office buildings, factories, etc., and delivered packages, mail, food, coal, and even people, small people, I guess. Well, during the early years after its completion, which would have been like 1911, 12, 13, and so on, the telephone company, which of course owned the tunnels, began selling something to movie theaters, which were also brand new at the time. So these tunnels are new, the movie theaters are new, and these guys are selling something to movie theaters. So the question is very simply, what were these theaters buying from the aforementioned Illinois Telephone and Telegraph Company? Now, I'll give a couple of hints. It wasn't popcorn, and it wasn't telephone service, and it wasn't film canisters or anything like that, but they were selling something interesting, and I can't give you any more hints because it might give it away.
Yeah.
Right, so anyway, if you think you know the answer, write it on a Champion precision-engineered 2-person sidecar with tracking increment lean-out technology, coil damper suspension, disc brakes, tinted windshield, convertible top, interior carpeting, halogen lighting, push-button solenoid-operated canopy latch, 2-tone paint, and a 500-pound load capacity in case one of us puts on a little weight, and send it along with a 1,000cc motorcycle of your choice to Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a car question for us, we're doing very well today with the car questions. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Derek from Boulder, Colorado.
Hey, Derek. Huh. What's going on, man?
Well, I am really in the doghouse right now. It's a bit of a marital problem that I'm hoping you guys can help me out with.
Oh, my brother's been in a few of those little scrapes. So.
Well, I've got this... I've got this 1985 Jeep CJ7, and I've had it for a while. I absolutely love it. But unfortunately, for the last 4 years, it's sat dormant on my lawn. Yeah, he was in an accident a while back, and so I got another car, and it's been sitting there because I have every intention of rebuilding it.
No, you don't.
But as the time has been going on, apparently I wasn't aware that we were counting down a clock on my wife's patience.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. So, and what's the countdown down to now?
I'm not actually sure, and I'm a little afraid to ask, but there's more testiness than there was a year ago. And she actually has a great idea. She said, hey, you know, why don't you take this thing and donate it to NPR or something like that?
No, we don't want it.
Yeah, if you saw it, boy, you'd sure agree. I really do want to rebuild it. I love this thing. I've wanted a Jeep since before I could drive, and I finally got it back in 92, and I hung on to it for a while. And there's my challenge.
So if you were to rebuild it, you wouldn't rebuild it out on the front lawn.
Oh, no, it gets even better. I'd have to throw the cars out of the garage and build it in there.
Oh, you kidding? He's going to shoot you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the cars in the garage, I imagine it's a two-car garage.
That's right.
One of the cars is hers, huh?
That's right.
You wouldn't have to throw both of them out, just yours.
I think that's probably true.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
And then if she didn't see it, I mean, if the neighbors, is it that the neighbors are seeing it every day?
I think that it's more that she sees it every day. There's some trees that kind of cover it up, but you got to understand, it's covered with rust now. I think some creature lives in there now.
Oh, this is getting worse and worse, Derek. Yeah, you need to rent a butler building. You know what a butler building is?
I do not.
Well, it's like looks like a Quonset hut, except the roof isn't curved. It's an aluminum building with a steel framework, and usually just set on whatever is there, whether it's an asphalt parking lot or concrete or dirt. Or whatever, and you can put the thing in there and bring your tools in, and you can lock it up at night so people can't raid it and steal your stuff. And as far away from your house as you can possibly get it.
Okay, the crux of this, the reason I was telling my wife, well, I can't get rid of it because I want another Jeep, and the thing is probably worth, even in its bad state, about $4,000. And, you know, then I'd have to pay $4,000 just to get a beater and fix it up.
So is it possible that you could trade up in a way? What if you could get rid of this for $4,000 and for maybe $4,500 get one that runs?
Yeah, I like that. I have an awful lot of memories tied to this one, but I could paint it the same color and pretend.
And we'd never tell. And your wife wouldn't care. To her, one Jeep is just the same as another.
Yeah, they're both bad. Yeah.
They're both bad. And aside from some sentimental attachment to this kind of vehicle, what else is going on here? I mean, why? Why an 85 CJ7?
Oh,
Is it for the ride, for the handling, the comfort, the convenience, the leaks?
I don't think it has any of those things. Yeah, well, it has the leaks.
Yeah. So, and that's part of, as my friend Richie says, that's part of the charm and the challenge of driving a Jeep. He said, anyone can make a vehicle that doesn't leak, he said, but Jeep is engineered kind of strategic leaks. So you kind of have to, you know, hold a hand
exactly.
up as you're driving along at 60 miles an hour to keep your pants from getting wet. But I think you might want to try to trade up. And if you can trade up for a few $100 or maybe even a few $1,000 and get something that doesn't need the same level of restoration that this one needs, you can actually park it in the driveway and move it, you know, and actually use it maybe. Wouldn't that be something novel?
It would be a new change. Maybe you should go for it.
Yeah, give it a shot. Either that or rent a butler building or a Quonset hut or whatever and tuck this thing away out of sight, out of mind, and you can go there and play with this thing whenever you want, and your wife will be happy to get rid of you. The Jeep. All right, good luck, man. This is going to be tough.
Thank you so much, guys.
I think the important thing here is that you act soon.
Yes.
I get the sense that this is getting to a critical point.
Yeah, I think I've pushed it about as far as I can.
Yeah, and you may be laughing, but I don't think she is. So
yeah.
Good luck, man.
Thanks so much.
Bye,
guys.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Michelle, and I'm calling from Alpharetta, Georgia.
Hi, Michelle from Alpharetta, Georgia. What's going on?
Well, I have a 2005 Camry. And as of the last 2 months or so, it's been making a really weird noise. It comes from the console, and it only happens when the key is turned to the start position. And it sounds kind of like, have you ever had a bun coffee maker that always keeps the water at a constant brewing temperature? It makes this kind of roiling kind of noise.
Hey, how'd you do that?
I've been listening to it a lot lately. And sometimes it even sounds like a rat or a mouse scratching on drywall.
Ooh.
Kind of a grinding noise. It's really weird, and I have no idea what it's caused by. Because I thought at first it was the tape player, but when I turned the radio off, it still made it.
Well, you don't have a tape player. Do you have a tape player in this 05? No.
I do. I have a tape player.
Oh, my God. Are you sure this isn't a 1905 instead of a 2005?
I know, right?
Well, but it sounds like it's coming out of the dashboard. You said the console, but it's coming out of the dashboard.
Well, yeah, like right in the middle where the tape player is.
Well, what else is back there?
Really?
Is the heater, but also in there is the blower motor.
Okay.
Is it louder if you turn the fan on faster?
Well, I don't know, because then I can't hear it. I can only hear it when I turn the radio and the air off.
Okay, I'm going to take a different tack altogether.
Okay.
I don't think it's coming from the heater or the blower or any of that stuff at all. I think the noise is coming from under the hood.
Okay.
And it's coming through the piece of metal that's between you and the hood, under the hood area, called the firewall.
Okay.
And this noise you're hearing is, I'm going to try to make the noise and see if I'm close.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like a percolation almost.
Oh, you like that, huh?
That's pretty good.
I think you have a bad water pump.
Oh.
Because you're right at the right age to have, your car, that is at the right age to have a bad water pump. I'm guessing you have close to 100,000 miles on it.
Oh, I have 150.
There you go.
You definitely have a bad water pump. And either it's a bad water pump or it's a bad timing belt tensioner or it's something like that.
Hmm.
You know, so you might try opening the hood and listening with with the engine running. But better than that, you might try taking it to your person.
Okay.
You have a person?
I do. Say Pete.
Pete, take it to Pete. But the noise you described is a classic bad water pump noise.
Water pump.
Yeah.
I was afraid it was going to be something like that because I know it's about time and it's never been changed, that and the timing belt. So
you never changed the timing belt either?
No.
Oh, Michelle, you are walking on fire here. You're flirting with disaster.
Oh, well, that's just my nature. I am my dad's daughter.
Well, you know, this might be serendipity because you would have replaced the timing belt probably 30,000 miles ago if you were paying attention, but you didn't. and maybe when they replaced it, they wouldn't have replaced the water pump, which is driven by the belt. So now it's a no-brainer. You need both things done, and you're going to be all set.
And it's going to be ugly, huh?
Money-wise?
Yeah.
It's going to be many hundreds.
Oh, dear.
Oh, okay. Dear. But think of all the pleasure.
That's not bad.
Yeah, think of all the trouble-free miles, all the pleasure you've had from this car, and it hasn't cost you a penny.
Oh, my mom just gave it to me about 5,000 miles ago.
Think of all the wonderful trouble-free miles that your mother had with this car. She should have done the timing belt on the water pump.
Yes, she should have.
Yeah, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, I guess.
All right. Oh, well.
Well, get on it and you'll be happier because if it breaks, you know, there's no warning.
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys.
All right, Michelle. Well,
good luck.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jim from Olympia, Washington.
Hey, Jim. What's going on, man?
Well, I need some philosophical advice from you.
Oh.
I'm of an age like you that you reflect back on life.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And the one constant in my entire life has been that every woman I've had a significant relationship with has owned a Volkswagen.
Really?
So my first girlfriend in high school had a Diesel Rabbit. My girlfriend in college had a bus. My ex-wife had a Super Beetle. My next girlfriend had a new Beetle. And my last girlfriend had a old Beetle. What does this mean?
Well, now that so you have a current girlfriend?
No, I don't want one.
Well, the current girlfriend's going to have an old goat.
I want a slant six kind of gal. You know, a Plymouth, 65 Plymouth. Reliable, dependable,
No, Jim, you're looking at it the wrong way. I think you are attracting Volkswagen women. There's no question about that. And I think if you try to change horses midstream, if you try to get a Mustang girl, you may think you're going to like a Mustang girl. But trust me, stick with what you know. So either you should start hanging around the various Volkswagen dealerships and just, you know, pretend you're looking at used cars, new cars. That's going to be the new pickup place for you, man.
No.
Oh, yeah. No, the new Volkswagen, you may buy a car while you're there, too.
I have to tell you, there's more to this. When I was 15 years old, I had no car and money in the bank. The first car I bought was a 56 Volkswagen. A year later, I had a blown engine and no money.
Yeah, so?
So I think there's a correlation between my first car and all of these women having Volkswagens.
Oh no! I see. I think you're reading too much into it. I think you just bought a jalopy. But you have had how many? Five relationships?
Almost as many as Tommy's wives.
Oh no! You got a ways to go, man.
Oh yeah.
But no, I think there's obviously something about the women who own Volkswagens that makes you attractive to them.
So they're attracted to me.
They're attracted to you, exactly. So there must be something about you. What is it about you?
I'm safe and dependable.
Do you not shower regularly?
No, I do shower. No, I wear a suit every day and I smell good.
You wear a suit every day and you smell good. And what kind of car do you drive?
I drive a Toyota Avalon.
Oh, really? So that kind of, you are representing to these women and you probably have driven cars akin to the Avalon for a very long time. So the Volkswagens, especially the older ones, the buses and the Beetles, the old Beetles and the Super Beetles, they represented unreliability. You, on the other hand, were at the opposite end of the spectrum. You represented solid citizen reliability, the kind of person you could always count on, and that's why they gravitated toward you. So that's who you are, Jim, and you're not going to be able to escape that.
So what do I do?
You're going to have to buy a Jeep. Yeah, you're going to have something. You're going to have to get something that belies your true nature.
So, like, lose the suit, don't shower, and buy a Jeep?
Buy a Jeep, and exactly. Do you have any hair left, or are you bald?
No, I have some hair left. I'm a monk.
You're a monk. Oh, okay. You have hair in the front, though. Buy a baseball cap, turn it around backwards, stick some hair on the front, buy a Jeep and a surfboard, and you'll be all set. And head for the beach.
Thank you very much.
Let us know how things work out. Send us a photo.
Yeah.
He'll be married and divorced within 6 months. See you later, Jim.
Thank you so much.
All right. Good luck. See you later. Bye-bye. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blooper. Penaloser. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the East Berlin Beef Hosen, Coco Vin, Shark Fin, Bathtub Gin, Wheat Thin, Chicken Skin, White Zin, Double Chin, Free Lunch Bin, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our marriage counselor is Marion Haste. Our TSA screener is Pat Matukas. Our staff gossip columnist is Aaron DeLaundry. Tom's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Sanskrit-speaking crossing guards in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
I just said that. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1228. Download some classic Car Talk episodes or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Mm. Also at cartalk.com, you can learn about how to skip the whole trade-in process and help your public radio station at the same time.
It's the Car Talk vehicle donation program, and I promise not to skim any AMC Hornets off the top.
We caught him doing that last year, you know.
It's the Car Talk vehicle donation program. Details at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Big Bird prays for an offer from the Discovery Channel whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.